You're listening to the Groundbreaking Community Stream.
Hi, this is Q, live and direct from Pune. For today's episode, we have my very old friends from college. We spent a lot of time working together, travel the world together. What's up, Puneet and Pragya?
Hi!
Yeah.
These guys have been doing some kick-ass work out there and running an independent design agency. I think we'll start with introducing each other. Maybe you'd like to... What's up? What's up, Pragya?
Hi!
Yeah, it's so good to be in Pune.
Thank you for coming and having us on your podcast.
Yeah, what's up?
Well,
what's up, Puneet?
Thank you so much for having us on this.
So I think we'll just talk about your journey and how what kind of projects you've been cooking and what is up.
So
we can also discuss about our journey in college and how difficult was it to get that design degree out there. What's up?
So I'll start with this. Right after we graduated, I was doing a couple of freelancing work for some company. And even like Pragya was also doing it, Abhijit was also doing it, all of them were doing it. So I was thinking, like, let's like all of us get together and do something big together. So that's how this whole plan started.
Yeah. And I remember talking about it in college time.
Mm-hmm.
But we were also looking in that scenario where to make a crazy portfolio and get a job in some fancy ass company.
Yeah, we had
Pragya got some in her bucket.
She got really good exposure, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, but like we do have that edge to it. Like, and we started with Opacity, I think, after a year of that decision.
Yeah, we never thought that we would be one day freelancing and, you know, doing our own thing. We, of course, thought we would go to respective places, wherever we get a job, typical, you know.
The job was, it was there in the mind, for sure. But then again, like, I was also thinking personally, like it will be very different and convenient, per se, in terms of working hours as well. You know, like, in terms of job, I have done a couple of internships, and I have to say, like, I don't think job fits my forte at all. And like, there is very less creative space that you can find there.
Yeah, definitely, it's one of the things that we always complain about.
Yeah, and especially like, I feel after you have graduated, you have this urge of working on very cool products or work under a very reputed designer.
Right. Do you want to talk about what Opacity and Co. is all about and the kind of projects you are up to? What's the idea? What is Opacity and Co. like?
So Opacity and Co. is on a very starting phase of our journey throughout our lives. So it's still on its baby stage. But we started this after we got together from our freelance life, and then we started this small studio space called Opacity, and we like to make opportunities through technology, design, and of course art. So that's basically what we want to focus on, and of course industrial design is something that suits and fits our domain.
We fit there, industrial design there, and then from here we started last year. Basically, we did some content creation a bit more aggressively, because like the amount of work that we have in terms of in our portfolio right after we graduated, it was all automotive. So usually automotive companies, they will not go for, I feel, for a bunch of people who just graduated from so and so school, and they cannot, I think, have the full amount of trust in them.
And
initially,
it's basically not an automotive agency, but more like industrial design,
automotive as well. Obviously, we can.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, like, that's where you've spent a lot of hours.
Yeah, a lot of hours. 3 years, all 3 years. Like, shuru ke 2 years were foundation. All of us have spent that same thing. But yeah.
Yeah, I've been seeing some really kick-ass stuff from your side,
thank you,
so I'm really looking forward to it. So one of the agenda of this podcast is to giving an idea about choosing freelance or going on your own, so that people will also get to know about how you are doing and how what do you think. Because freelancing is one of the things where you just go for it and it feels like a nightmare. And then you just go to your safe space and maybe look for jobs. And let's try to cover as much as information for the listeners to implicate in their own processes.
Yeah, for sure. I think it is very important for people to know that it's not just like when you're freelancing, it's not just all about getting money in. It's also about having that money and sustaining with it.
Yeah.
Until you find your next client.
So when did you think about going for like, okay, not going for jobs. Okay, I'm not doing this. I'm going to do my own shit. Or like, because I remember in college, we were looking forward to crack some good jobs out there abroad and stuff.
It's really all about opportunity. Everyone has a skill. Everyone is talented. So that's what we thought as a group, that we have good amount of potential, and why not? Like, and especially a marketplace like India, you have to be right now. Our work, our whole group's work is really, really good. So we thought of having our own agency for this, you know, and like introduce ourselves, and this is the right time for that.
And I think if you have like entrepreneurship aspirations with a passion for design, you know, you may find yourself automatically sort of steering away from a typical, you know, job scenario and doing your own thing. Mm. So that's the thing that we actually thought, that what would be the right time to start doing, you know, a startup per se. So it's actually like after you graduate, because, you know, it was a decision between, you know, security and freedom. And right now we don't have too much to worry about because we're very young and we recently graduated. So it's something that we wanted
to
go.
You have all this energy, all these new ideas.
You have so
like,
much.
Why not pursue them right away, now?
Yeah,
one of the ways of doing things.
Yeah.
Of course, because of this pandemic situation, things are different. How did it hit you? Like as a as an agency, how did it hit you? Like, did you get some interesting projects, or how are you working in the pandemic phase where most of the indies were struggling towards something? And what do you have to talk about?
Like, so during the pandemic, initial 2 months, we were thinking about the same topic as it, like would people want to invest more in their business and would they want to hire? Then we came up with this interesting article about you should not see it in a way
Making a system where you are sustainable and
you have to think about it, because like you are not getting any projects. So now we were thinking about how to like attract more clients in. Like, so we started doing some conceptual mask and visor projects, and internally we started, you know, spreading the word out.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this website called Fiverr as well. So we are active there.
We uploaded our
let's say pandemic portfolio on Fiverr.
Okay, I think Fiverr lately it's getting very famous. So Fiverr is basically a platform where you get freelance projects from industrial design, and those who doesn't know about it. It's US based.
It actually started very interestingly. Fiverr was basically a platform where you pay only for $5 and you can get any service done. But of course now, like, it's been a while, you know. So
all types of people are there.
So it's crazy. But in fact, when the pandemic hit, we actually, while we were looking for projects and putting up our, you know, pandemic portfolio out, we actually got interesting projects related to the pandemic, which was to make a couple of ventilator designs. And, you know, people suddenly started seeing a lot of
potential in
how to make this whole, you know, stage of the pandemic better for other people. So I guess that's when I think a lot of freelancers were doing well. But we were doing well.
That's great to hear. That's smooth. So what have you been doing lately? Like, what tool are you using? Or do you want to talk about some current interesting project which is coming up? And it's upon you if you don't want to talk about it.
Of course, we can share some.
Yeah, like the main tool that we, like the industrial designers that are listening right now, they probably know that the main thing is, of course, your 3D skills and your 2D skills. So that's something that we mostly focus on. Like we do sketches and then, of course, we do a lot of 3D ideation as well, like 3D doodling and sketches. So I think 3D, Fusion 360 is something that we use all the time. And we're doing a little bit of
like,
Blender.
Yeah, we started learning Fusion last year.
Last year, yeah. And now we're doing a lot of engineering projects, like 3D printing related projects. So like if you're interested in 3D printing, I think Fusion 360 is a good software.
Yeah, I've been using Blender lately. It's like it's been more than a year. I think that's my bread and butter at this moment. It's a really great tool, and you have everything inside it. Like you talk about texturing, UV mapping, rendering, animation. It's crazy. I'm really looking.
Like, but like, can someone perfect their skills on Render on Blender? Ever.
Yeah, it's like any other tool, I think, and you know, if
no,
every
can
day
someone know the entire software? There are so many things.
I'm sure there are people who are giving courses and spent more than. Do you know it's more than 20 year old?
Yeah.
So there are people who've been using this software for more than 20 years, which is crazy, right?
It's
there's
crazy.
Yeah, there's one of the courses
the time right now.
Yeah, it's crazy. So the best part about this Blender community is that there are tons of people working behind the scene to make the software better, writing codes and trying out stuff. So even a lot of the people from their own team doesn't know what they can do about it. It's endless. So it's a crazy tool. It's a crazy.
This podcast is not sponsored by Blender.
Or
by Fusion 360.
Or by Fusion 360.
Oh yeah, it's a freeware. So yeah, it deserves a shout out.
Yes,
maybe. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
So yeah, let's talk about our college a bit.
Yeah, for sure.
So those who all doesn't know that we were in the same college, and it was a pretty crazy and hectic environment we've been through and it's you want to talk about something? We have someone who has worked with brands like Tesla. You want to talk about her again? We were going crazy when we got to know that she got into Tesla.
Wow.
You want to talk about it?
Yeah.
I think that was the first thing I wanted to ask you in the beginning of this podcast.
Sure.
Yeah.
How do you get
into it? Like, how can you get into a brand like Tesla? It's like a dream brand.
It's like
people,
a dream. And like people, you can't get in. Like you cannot.
Yeah.
How will you find the fucking contact?
I did not directly apply to Tesla because of course like how you know we all were wondering like how can even someone send any of her stuff or any of her work there, but they found my work on LinkedIn. And then they reached out to me on LinkedIn. And then, they saw my portfolio there. So I had one interview and then the second interview. So, yeah. And then the third one was an email. Which was
gangster rap in the background.
Which was, like, signed by Elon Musk in the end. It was an electronic signature in the end. But good enough. So that's how I got in. And it was an incredible journey for me. I was there for 4 months. And I was there when they were working on the Roadster, the new Roadster, and the semi truck. So I worked a little bit on the semi, and I worked on a little bit of the pickup truck, which now is the Cybertruck. So at that time, it was the pickup truck.
Cybertruck.
Pretty very good exposure.
Yeah, we all kind of like it was. Of course, it was some bizarre thing.
Came out.
Yeah. So,
and the best part about Tesla was that their mentality was still a startup mentality. It wasn't about, you know, they're a big company. So the team was very small. It was 11 designers, 5 exterior and like 6 interior designers, including me. So it was a very small team. And, you know, you wouldn't expect such a fancy I mean, you would expect a fancy studio and so, but no, they're very, you know, grounded and very humble in their ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sounds like a crazy learning. Right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Working alongside
crazy
Elon
learning.
Musk.
Yeah,
right?
Very nice.
That's crazy.
Seem Hing in the same room as well.
He was. He used
oh,
to
that's
come,
so fucking cool.
That is
man.
Crazy.
Yeah.
He used to come to the studio every Friday, so we used to have a review with him every Friday.
Are you allowed to say that?
Yes. I think everyone knows now.
Definitely. So, what are your plans like? Are you planning to put up a studio out there, or are you gonna work remotely? What are your plans like?
VR.
And how are you like? Because of obvious scenarios, we have to work at remotely. But is this the way you are gonna head?
Yes,
on
that's to? Possibly something that we're looking towards. Like eventually, in a couple of years, we will of course have a more proper establishment with you know our name of Asti & Co. as a proper industrial design store. But right now, we do prefer working remotely, and you know for a more independent sort of future. That eventually will lead us to
yeah,
a more
like
collaborative
the,
future.
Yeah, like trying to get more projects in,
yeah.
Getting good content out there, inviting more clients in, or like possibly after some time, like get more clients so you can hire more talent, people
yeah.
who are better, maybe at something,
yeah.
at something. Like you cannot perfect everything, obviously. So like you have to find some other guy who is only specializing in, let's say. VFX
yeah, yeah
or,
that's a way to it. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think like that would be that's our plan,
mm-hmm.
And we are working on like some really interesting stuff.
So yeah, talking about the real deal, the clients. How are you getting them? Like, do you wanna share some of your tips or the process once you have the client with you and how to go with it? It's for the people who are maybe trying to go into the freelance scene and figuring out how people are doing it. So would you like to
yeah.
share your initial steps?
Yeah.
How do you get good clients, or like once you have the clients, how did you go through the process to?
Yeah,
yes.
Just for people listening, like there is no perfect way or any proper pathway that you know will get you clients. You really have to try your luck on everything. So we have a workout on most design platforms, so that's how we get, like for example, Behance. We have a work over there, so we've gotten a lot of projects from Behance. Also, to our surprise, recently we started getting projects and people inquiring on Instagram. And Instagram is a really cool place because all you have to do is sort of like DM a studio or a company that you want to work for and just say, hi, I'm freelancing.
Yeah, talk to them. Say
and
hi.
Do you hire freelancers? So I think right now the world is smaller than, you know, it really appears.
It's easy to reach as
yeah.
of now. Yeah.
And of course, we have some good friends also that, you know, we have a design community of our friends that we are, you know, going on from university. So we sort of keep shuffling projects here and there. You know, our business model is something like we find work and we may acquire it on our own, or we may pass it on and, you know, help collaborate and make a bigger design community. So like right now, that's what we want to focus on.
That sounds really crazy. like to the people who are trying to the people who are in their schools or in college and want to dive into the design world, how do you think the education is important? Because some of the colleges are really expensive. And what do you think in this remote working and online classes world, how a person can get into design, whether it is communication design or industrial design? What do you think about it? How do you think that they can make it work?
I think if they have this strong intention that they really want to do this, practice is the best thing in this. You
mm-hmm.
have to start somewhere,
yeah.
and you have all the medias available, at least traditional.
Yeah, I think this is the...
Even, let's say, a logo designer can start from this.
Yeah, this is the best time to be a designer,
I think.
You
can
yeah.
you can
or
learn
to become
so
one.
Many things.
Yeah. There are a lot of resources. Online. Yeah, there are a lot of resources out there which got free in the pandemic.
Yeah.
So it's
and I think that companies or people that hire talent for design, they usually look at portfolios rather than degrees. So I think making good portfolio and curated portfolio, for example, you won't be sending the same portfolio everywhere. You have to curate it according to wherever you're sending it. And that.
But here again, I think one of the drawbacks in this situation will be that you're not getting mentored by some
mentorship is
that you can idolize, like, you know, so the mentorship and those, like, you know, those moments you have with the mentor when the person says some, like, increase the fillet, and that gives you another idea because of that person.
Yeah.
So that is not there in self-learning in this.
The perfection will come after.
Practicing.
Practicing
something.
Is the best thing.
Yeah. I think to the people who are in their school or college and they think that they like design and want to try something, there are a lot of resources. There are a lot of platforms like Coursera, edX, and there are a lot of shitloads of videos out there on YouTube. You just type there and you have, like,
you have everything in front of you.
Yeah.
So I think, I wish we had that.
We didn't have that when we were starting out. There was nothing.
It used to be so hard.
But I also feel like if you have, like, more options, it gets more difficult for you to choose from.
Yeah, that's there.
And
also,
consistency in the particular subject lacks, and they stop being consistent, then you stop, and you get disappointed. So all that loophole starts from
And also, because of the design schools are really expensive to a limit compared to any other course you would like to do.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of times they just decide to quit. Okay, let's just not do it and, like, do just some random course like engineering or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's great that people are choosing art and design as their full-time career now. So it's a good thing. It's getting better.
It's good. We are
winning.
That also means that people are open-minded now.
Yeah, that's cool. Also because of the internet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking about clients, right? We kind of lost it.
So I had this one client, and I wanted to work with him, and he did not know about me at all or about Opacity. So what I just did, I made a project for him, and thinking that he would like this, looking at his studio and his work. And then I sent my portfolio to him with that particular work. And after 3-4 months, then I got a reply on LinkedIn, by the way. And he said that I like your work. So this is one way of getting a client. Like,
just reach out on.
And the thing is, when you're reaching out, like, obviously you know that you have put so much work into it, and you need to have that faith in it.
Yeah.
If you won't have it, the client won't have it.
You have to have that consistency and like reaching out to them, and also like keeping in touch with them. Mm-hmm. That's,
keeping,
I think, very important.
Clients really appreciate this. Like, they have, like, often like told us that we appreciate you are keeping in touch. So and so was the reason we could not get back. This is the reason now we can.
Sometimes we just give up. We just shoot them a message and, like, expect them to reach out to us with all the
Does not happen. Like, so even if the client likes your work, there's not 100% guarantee you're going to work with them.
There's not that,
because now it comes down to analytics, like, in terms of how will he do this, that client, how will he, does he want to pay so much, or does he want to do, or does he want to go with some other designer? So they also price hunt at the first moment.
Yeah.
And then you have this one call with them, and then somehow it happens, and
this is how the vibe
clicks, and then if the client laughs for some time, you got the job.
that's a cool. So do you want to talk about hard clients? I mean, people who gives you heart. I'm sure there are a bunch of
assholes out there. Whoa.
No, there's so many clients that we've had that actually have given us a hard time. But honestly, it just makes the good clients better. That's how you have to look at it.
You're more grateful.
You're more grateful for better work. And of course, at the end of the day, challenges come, and, you know, it's going to be there throughout your whole life. You will have interesting clients that you may not vibe with. But of course, a job is a job. You know, you have to be professional And as freelancers, like, that's a thing, like, you're not backed up by a company or, you know, by legality. So you sort of have to save your own ass.
You have to be your own lawyer.
You have to be your own.
You have to stand by yourself.
You have to be more than one single thing in order to manage that.
Yeah.
That's why it becomes like a nightmare to a lot of them, because they just panic and think about, okay, how to do it, and I'm not getting any kind of projects. How do I reach out? So yeah, it's still a scary it's still a scary slope out there, because people still scared about choosing freelance as their full time career. So through this episode, I just wanted to share as much as information they can get to be more comfortable about going independent.
Yeah.
So what are the hard things they need to keep in mind to
start
freelancing?
Well, hard things, I mean, like, the struggle.
Basically, all of it.
Yeah. Yes, like, you
because
need to,
there are so many.
You need to understand, like, with a normal job, the line of your, the rate of your you earning is going to be constant. Whereas, as a freelancer, the rate of what you're going to be earning is going to fluctuate. It's either you're going to have some good days, you're going to have some bad months. And so, you know, you sort of have to keep going. And in the long run, I mean, we are still very early in our freelancing life.
We all are figuring out our ways.
Yeah, but I've seen some really successful freelancers that are have been doing this for about 10 to 15 years. And they are living an amazing, peaceful, you know, independent, free life. So, I mean, it's
free life. They get to make their own routine in their lives, their own...
Yes.
Yeah, you learn a lot.
You learn you can learn something extra in your life if you have some other wish to learn.
Focus on your mental health, physical health.
Yes.
Yeah, you're at home, like, it's such a chilled out way of instead of like working under a boss where there's less creativity, for example, like, this is so much better. You know, like, you are master of your own time in terms, but you are delivering obviously on time.
Yeah,
we sound like we are like putting a cry out for a freelancer.
No, the thing is, if a life like this is possible, like, why not try it?
Why not try it? Give it a shot.
And you get to learn so many things, like entrepreneurship. Like, you're managing. You're being a businessman here.
Yeah.
You are opening a project, looking for a client, opening a project, signing the NDA, then you're moving forward.
Mm.
Then you're closing the project. So there's no one else who is closing the project for us. It's only independent designers who get to do it.
Yeah, definitely. So, like, a lot of clients, sometimes they just have a brief in their head and doesn't know anything about design. So I think last time also we've met, we were talking about... how to make our client understand about the design process so that we can be more effective about the output. So how do you guys do it? Like, how do you do it, or do you have some different kind of process to go through it?
So we do have a sort of way, a process that we do follow, and of course, like, we have curated a process according to the client. And if the client doesn't have sort of design education or a design background, we of course familiarize them first beforehand. We start our work that this is what this is what the outcome's gonna be and stuff like that.
Let's say, like, we would like send them some mood board. And we would ask them to select any image that they like. So we get to understand their design aesthetic, where they are heading towards in terms of their own product.
Yeah.
Maybe they want to make it look like this, like that, but they don't have the vocabulary or the sentences in the right form.
So you sort of basically
visually
teach them about the process.
Yeah, educate
and so
them. Like, most of the times, like, during the struggling phase.
And do you think,
like,
how much do you think it's important about teaching your client about design, or it's something which takes a lot of time? Because I think once they know about the process, the rest of the process becomes easier. So what do you think?
It also depends on the client, actually.
Mm.
If the client is too stuck up in his or her own way that he or she wants it to look like this or that, that client would be difficult to educate in terms of design. Let's say if there's a client who is like, I trust your design, let's say, and that guy lets us do whatever we feel like doing, and we present it to him. And then there are some changes. So, like, that is a different client. That client is the client that you can educate properly. Because he's like open-minded, you know, and not really stuck up with his ways.
It also
depends on the length of the project.
I mean, I think best thing for a client who doesn't have, you know, a design education would be that we give him a sort of timeline that, let's say, if a project is a month long, so we show sort of like every week what we're up to and what we're doing. And of course, show them the trends and aesthetics that are going on right now. So, you know, the client also does familiarize with the whole process.
Yeah. But I'm sure it's also there for every client.
Yeah,
supposed to be.
The main conclusion is like showing them more visual things so that they can relate to their product.
Yeah,
I think that would be the
benchmark.
Everyone speaks. Like they understand once they have visuals around them and stuff.
They understand better.
Definitely, yeah. Playing with images, making stylescapes to get them.
Even for our projects, like if the client wants us to do some visualization, we would like give him some examples of our work.
By visualization, you mean 3D rendering.
3D rendering, I mean. Yeah. Industrial design 3D rendering.
Yeah.
And so you send them some benchmarks and they like
some samples.
Some samples.
Yeah.
And then we move ahead with it. Then we take the details from it and then we move ahead.
All right. So basically, currently you are just the kind of services you are providing is industrial design, product design, and
visualization.
Visualization.
Yeah.
We did a couple of branding projects.
Just a couple of them.
Yeah. How are you all like keeping up with the design trends, and how are you working when you have creative block or the tools, the new tools? Every day there are new tools out there, like new
there are
new
so many
out
tools
there.
Out there.
Sometimes it's very
it's
you cannot you cannot know everything, obviously.
Yeah.
So how how does it affects you once you have different output for different projects? How do you go through it? Do you learn that skill, or maybe how do you do it?
We usually
tool oriented sometimes, or you just make it work? How do you do it?
I mean, of course, a creative block is a serious, like, it's a thing that any creatives, anyone who's listening right now will is possibly like going through it right now, and they're listening to this podcast. But that's the thing, like, it's always going to be there. But what you have to do is, I think, like, for us, like, when we have a creative block at a particular project, we sort of leave that project on hold for you know, some time, and then move on with other projects. Of course, because, you know, we have too many projects working on simultaneously, so it's better to give that attention somewhere else. But yeah, when, you know, we just sort of chill a little bit, have conversations with our friends and people that are in the same industry, and trying to understand their view on this issue, and then we come back to the thing and work our creativity again.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, I think in order to be a better designer or communication designer, graphic designer, industrial designer, visual communication is something which always helps you get ideas. So, for example, I think in this room, all of us sketches a lot. So I think that's one of the things which helps all of us. So,
sketching a lot,
yeah.
I mean, Puneet,
we are sketching still, all of us.
Yeah, we.
So nice.
That's so cool. I think it's one of the most underrated things no one talks about when you're learning design.
It's so good as well. Like,
yeah.
I mean, one time we got this client from Spain, I think, and he was not able to communicate with us properly. So we majorly communicated with him.
Doodles,
and it was so nice.
Yeah, because like it's very confusing for people that they think the idea should be it should look nice. Your sketching should look nice. I think one of the things people don't get up to sketch is that they don't think that they are good enough. But I think it doesn't have to be very good.
I
should be communicative. I think.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
very underrated, I think.
Sketching is a very primal thing that we've been doing for a long time as humans, you know.
Like since Stone Age.
Yeah, since Stone Age, we've been
scribbling
on the stone.
It might not be, you know, in this right perspective and stuff, but of course, thousands of years later, we're studying them. So, as long as it just shows, like, the idea, you know, just shows the idea, even a small sketch on a napkin can really do wonders. So, sketching is something.
Napkin sketches. Oh, my
napkin
God.
Sketches.
There have been so many of them.
Yeah, I can see.
I can never sketch good on napkins.
Also depends upon the tip of the pen.
Tip of the pen. If it's too inky, then you're dead.
Also depends on the napkin.
Yeah, I think, like people, like, really stop because they feel that their sketches are not good looking. But like,
that's
like one way to look at it.
Yeah.
But like, sketching is much more than that.
That's so true. And I think whenever you are stuck, sketching always helps. Like, even if you have some images or you can just take it to Photoshop, or if you don't want to put a pen on paper. But I won't recommend that. I think everyone deserves some nice time with pen and paper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's one of the things that everyone, even if you're not so good at sketching, it's sketching.
Think now it does not really matter maybe much if you don't know much sketching.
Yeah. Again,
because now there are so many tools, like directly now you can 3D model something.
And you can
put it on SketchUp and you can sketch over it.
And this is how people showcase their sketches, like showing the design, but that same design is getting replicated. So you don't see the process while going.
That's the process.
The process is not there anymore. Like, people are like showing more of the results.
Yeah, I think it's a result oriented world in design.
Right,
it's
now,
very very
yeah.
quick, very like on time.
Express.
And
like lately on Instagrams, I've been seeing a lot of designers doing that. Like result oriented stuff. Okay, they have the brief in mind, but I think it's good when you are ideating and not something which is maybe on the final stage.
Exactly.
Because I think process is very important when you are trying to develop something.
Maybe this could be one of the phases you start
for
with, and then you develop it later.
So, which is very cool, I think. So we've been talking about freelancing and design education. How much do you guys think experience matters, like a job experience? How much it is important for people? For example, I've been learning things from YouTube. I've been sketching. I've made a portfolio. Should I just start freelancing, or do you think experience is important? What do you think?
If you get the opportunity, like, start freelancing right away. There is no harm in this at all. Like, start freelancing. If you have that aim in your head that you want to go in certain company, then you start working towards it, apply, do the interview process and everything while you're freelancing.
What would be good is that you do internships. And that's what we both did. We did internships, and then our first, as soon as we graduated, we started doing freelance right away. So internships really helped us. And so, I mean, have a little bit of industry exposure. But yeah, like right away start if
no,
you have
industry exposure, I think, yes, you need to have.
Just
to get the hint what's out there in terms of job.
I think it'll be vary with the kind of design you're studying. Maybe like it's different for automotive. It's totally different for automotive.
It's so
design.
Different.
I think it's very important to spend some time in the industry if you're planning to go into automotive design, to be specific. But I think for product design.
I feel if we let's say are only into automotive design and we don't do product design. Like, I think then we need to have a really good amount of automotive job experience in a good firm.
It's a bigger product.
Maybe that could help us much more.
Yeah.
Right.
It's
now.
A complex.
So now, since we are automotive designers, like transportation graduates, so industrial design was quite handy for us.
Even as a student, when you do an internship and at the same time you do freelancing project as well, so you get that experience.
Yeah.
You get that
experience. Two projects at the same time and you finish both at the same.
Internships are the
Internships are really important.
Yeah.
So, and what do you think about interning somewhere for free?
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a really delicate topic.
It is, but it's something, of course, like if the student is... you shouldn't work for free, first of all. And if the student is coming to your facility to work as, you know, to get work experience, you also should, spend some money on them, because they are giving your time.
It never made sense to me, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, they have, like, fresh minds. They want to do many things. Like, we want to do many things. So obviously it makes sense that we will boost, we'll be an asset to your studio. So you should.
Yeah. And especially internships, like it gives you a small window of opportunity to see life of how it would be as a professional. So if you're getting the money out of the internship, it's better to understand how to spend it, how to manage it and things like that. So of course internships should be paid and...
it should be free.
Pay your interns.
The thing is, it's such a big deal because abhi tune bola tha that design institutes are so expensive. So it is the first thing that you get paid off of, the internship. That's the first thing that you get in your mind. Like it's so much value it holds.
It's the first earning.
To pay the student for the job.
Yeah, definitely. It's a really thing
it's a
to
sensitive
discuss.
Topic
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when you, like, I've always, even when I get freelance projects or something of that sort, in some of them, some of the projects, I have this liability of providing some crazy amount of designs or, like, the amount of proposals and stuff. And
like
then
you get,
like
you get carried away.
Yeah, I got carried away and I sometimes, a lot of times I just, I'm afraid to screw up, right? I think is it a normal thing or it's just me?
It is normal.
Yeah, because
I've
been doing some projects lately and one of it was too intense. And I was, a lot of time I wasted because I thought I'll end up screwing up the project.
Mm.
But
I don't know why we're thinking about it.
Did the client make you uncomfortable? With your proposals?
Maybe it was a high paid project, maybe that's why. Maybe I wouldn't do justice with the kind of work I have coded for.
Because disliking your own.
Of, and I was afraid, okay.
Should
like,
I send it to him?
Yeah, this is basically one of the things we face in the beginning. Maybe after a few projects, I don't feel that. Same again, but what do you think about when like do you feel afraid when to screw up or something in any stage you've thought that okay you'll end up screwing up or
I think everyone, especially in today's generation, I think we're really taught to be self-critical, so it's something that we really really underestimate ourselves. And of course, kids who are listening right now, recently graduated or in the university, you might feel it stronger. But with age, you learn to cope up with these things. And it's, of course, always better to fail early than later. So it's better to, like, fail right now at such a young age and such a young establishment rather than, doing something wrong eventually when you're, handling bigger budget clients and stuff like that. So
yeah,
I think
true.
give yourself.
Don't go hard on yourself.
Yeah, don't go hard on yourself. Like life is already complicated.
And at the end of the day, you have to also remember you love what you're doing.
Yeah.
You need to have fun with it.
Definitely. Having fun with it is the only reason we opted for design.
Yeah.
Sometimes
when I feel difficult with a client or we feel difficult, we find that the communication is making the situation thoda bitter, let's say. So we feel that we need to enjoy this process, like, because everything at the end of the day, whatever the results that we are oriented to, it will have all of this ups and downs. You need to have bad communication at some point to understand what good communication is. So that's how we feel that we should have fun. And it's all right. And
At the end of the day, you'll be fine.
You will
be fine.
I think a lot of it is also depends upon how you are managing yourself.
Mm.
right? I think it's very important to how you're managing yourself and how you're keeping up with all your day to-do tasks.
Yeah.
So, do you want to talk about your schedule or like what's your day schedule like?
So, our day starts off like working with the clients that are, I mean, we have clients from all over the globe. So, we have like the American clients, we attend to them like 8 to 10, and then we have our European clients.
That's
freelancing. Freelancing may time copy.
Time copy.
Yeah, that's the
situation.
So different, you know, especially if you're working remotely, you're working with a lot of different time zones, and it might be 3 a.m. in India, and you have a guy somewhere sitting in Argentina, and he's like, I want to get this render done right now. So that's the thing. So it's sort of jumbled up every time, but. We start off with
time
working
zone also,
time zone wise, and
time zone also sometimes make the client question if they want to hire. It depends, like where you are at. Sometimes, not all the time.
Sometimes.
Some clients do care about this.
Yeah.
Like if they are at their office at, let's say, 3 p.m, and if here it's like late in the night, they would expect results. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. True.
So
yeah.
You have to.
Or they won't hire you. If they hire you, they will expect results, or they will not.
True.
Yeah.
But that's the best part about being a freelancer. Like, your schedule is so unpredictable. You know, it's like different days. You have different type of things happening. And even if you have to pick up a call at 3 a.m., you know that you will wake up at 11 a.m. next day. you know, you give yourself that that rest that put
that
in the time.
But there have been times where, like, we thought that we submitted a project, and we did submit it. There was this one last iteration we had to do, and we got a call at 1 a.m. and we actually did it for that person, and we sent it to him.
Wow.
So you also have to be flexible.
Yeah.
Because we were expecting, we had a good relationship with him, and we were expecting it to go long. So you have to obviously go bend a little.
Yeah,
you
got a hustle up there.
Huh? Yeah, a little hustle.
Yeah.
True.
Even though we were not sleeping at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah, smooth. So, currently, you've mentioned, you've got ventilator projects in the COVID times when the COVID was at its peak. What do you think about being a specialist and being a generalist?
This is one of
the things I've been like asking people, like, is it bad to be a specialist, or is it bad
I feel people sometimes say, let's say I'm talking about designers, like I feel designers think generalists are not so good, but companies do hire them.
Okay.
A lot of companies
why do you think that they think
because
that
I feel I don't think that I feel I would actually, you know what, I would rather be on the journalist side than
specific side. That's
what
we are. Like, we as a Pasti and Co, we are
but
also...
Then again, I'm sorry to interrupt again. But again, the thing is, like, there's nothing to be... there's nothing you're focusing on as per that you are selling.
True.
Fine, industrial design is a very big subject. Many things involved in it. But then again, there are other things as well into this, you know?
Yeah, true.
Sorry,
Pragya. Yes. Of course, like, as a Pasti & Co, no problem. As a Pasti & Co, we are more of generalists. We don't have a specialty yet, or would ever actually have a specialty. But if, for example, there is something that you want to go ahead and abide by all your life, you can do it. But I think as creative minds, we are, you know, creative,
we
like, wanderers. Like, we
automatically...
Yeah, it should
be tool-oriented specifically, because a lot of jobs are, like...
Yeah.
For example, in automotive design, there's a surface modeling in a lot of companies. It's just, they are just doing that, and without any motive or without any creative iteration, they are just making it up. So, I was doing that some time ago.
But you realized it. I'm sure people do realize it.
It's good to be specialist. If they're loving it, it's great for them.
Yeah.
But
it's,
I think I had
specialist
more in me than just
yeah
that. So I also wanted to explore myself as a as a journalist, as an ID journalist, than a surface specialist.
So, Abhi,
what would you call yourself?
A design journalist.
Design journalist.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been the kind of projects I've been doing are pretty versatile.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing some packaging design projects and also some surface modeling, which I was doing.
That has crazy contrast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's honestly kind of fun, because I always wanted to try myself to different challenges and stuff. Maybe I wasn't realizing it, because in college I had this thing in my head to get a good job at some good place and spend my time there. But I got it. But it wasn't something where I really wanted to see myself growing on that point. Because I think, I could do more in it. Because I loved sketching, and at the same time I loved graphic design.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I think I'm happy. I'm happiest than ever.
Yeah.
With this arrangement.
You cannot always do one thing
all the time.
Huh.
Like.
वो भी सही है मतलब अभी अभी सो दिस दिस फ्रीलांस लाइफ आल्सो गिव्स मी टाइम टू एक्सप्लोर माय सेल्फ एज अ म्यूजिशियन और एज अ डीजे और so it's something which is cool, where you get to explore yourself, and it's a fun process.
It can be very expressive.
It can have a lot of hustles, but at the same time it gives you something.
Hustle
is the process, and that's the whole point.
That's why we are doing it, right? Or what's driving you, like what keeps you motivated, and how do you think that every day you're getting up from bed, and how are you keeping yourself motivated? Okay, theek hai, matlab maybe I'm struggling right now, or maybe I'm still waiting for the client's money, and how are you keeping yourself motivated on a daily basis, if it makes sense?
The motivation, of course, comes with the money.
How much bread are we making? Yeah, let's talk about the money, and let's also talk about how a lot of people are charging so much less and making it difficult for the rest of them.
Yes.
It's true, right? Or
it is
just
true.
Me?
It is true.
Especially with the Indian market, it's just that if you get clients from outside, they automatically expect you to sort of have a lower price.
That's not nice.
That's not at all true.
They reach out to us and thinking
that we're sasta mein kar rahe hain. So
how to change that narrative of charging less and devaluing your work, because it's just you just spend half an hour in a software kind of a perception.
This is where you have to educate your clients and show them your value and show them the process, and it's not ki aadhe ghante mein hum karenge to ho jayega aapka product ban jayega, aisa nahi hai. We put in a lot of time. That's why we have to show transparency in the process and show them that whatever you're paying, every single penny is going to the value of their work.
That's so true.
Yeah.
We need to charge so much more than
we need to charge
we
more for sure. There's so much into the whole thing that we do.
We've spent
a lot of money on design
education, at least in our case.
Design education, yes.
Yeah,
and then the equipments you have.
The software, hardware,
everything.
Talking about your hardware. Mm. So how do you think how good is a good PC to get you started? Like, what do you think about the hardware? Do you think it's gonna stop you to a process where you can't do it without a good hardware or something? What do you think?
I feel yes. If you don't have a certain hardware, you cannot achieve a certain result.
Okay.
Invest in hardware. Not necessarily as well. Then it comes down to traditional media. It comes down to having, let's say, a Cintiq, Photoshop. Then also you can create madness with just that.
Yeah, and there are a lot of freeware also, I think.
Freeware
as well. You can use.
So many of them. But talking about just hardware, obviously you cannot generate high quality material, different panels showing renders. You know, you cannot create big
true
without a good graphic card.
Yeah.
Or a nice processor.
Yeah, invest in a good computer or hardware.
I feel like initially you can also invest in some nice like 55,000, 60,000 laptop. Even that can do
wonders.
Even that
can
do crazy stuff.
Yeah. That
all of us initially had that, even I had.
Yeah, even
we all
college,
did.
Dude, I think I still have it. It's I use it for maybe I don't know for some surfing stuff maybe.
You should join the cool kid PC club.
Buy that PC you always wanted.
Yeah,
assemble.
get it. It's gonna go a long way, and honestly, you can manage a lot of projects on just one computer.
Yeah, obviously, think about it. Like the amount you spend on the PC, you have to earn 10 times that amount. Whatever amount you invest in it, you will obviously you will work on it, and you will get 10 times more than that.
Mm.
Anything you want to talk about? What's in the menu, man? Like I forgot to what? What's coming up? Like I've seen some really cool sketches on the table, and what's like? Let us know like what's on the menu.
So right now, of course, like we have some things out there in our portfolio on the internet. But right now, because we have a lot of client work, we are not able to self-generate. And also, another thing you need to understand is client work is usually NDA. So, you know, you can't really put it on your portfolio. So you have to sort of self-fund projects that you can put on so that people can see what your capabilities are. So right now
So we have this design aesthetic in our mind and the intention in our mind.
Yeah.
And then we would like to, let's say, do it ourselves, or by that time comes, we hire talent and we ask them to do it. That vision.
Because it also gives you a lot of time to look for more opportunities, right?
More opportunities.
Yeah.
By the time our work is getting done, we are looking through it, we hire more people, and we get a person also looking for some.
So yeah, it's always a good idea to pass it on to someone who can make your process easier. Right?
Yes.
Eventually,
instead of just learning
possible.
And like doing it yourself. And taking a lot of time.
Yeah.
Right.
Because also you have to keep that in mind about you have to keep the quality in mind you want to deliver.
I think generalists usually hire specialists.
Yeah, generalists.
That's what it is.
Yeah, you summed it up.
Yeah. Also, I've been doing some sketches. Yes, I also do some portrait. And then some like mech art.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah. It's always like when you are into this scene, you always have space to try something and then fail to it. I think that's how you learn, right?
Yeah.
You try something and then you figure out, okay, this is not working. But you gotta try. You have to put
you
those
to
action.
Try.
Yeah.
And sometimes like even like I have experienced it, or obviously tum something ne kiya hoga experience kabhi like. When I'm thinking I cannot draw this particular object, and when I actually stop thinking and start doing it, I end up drawing it. Like,
achieving it.
And then you try it again. And then you achieve it again.
Yeah, always try. I think that's the thing. Like, even kids these days, they, you know, it's not about shortcuts. It's not about, like, hard work, of course. It's always about doing things smartly. But at the same time, sketching is something you need to practice over and over again.
Also, we are like, as Opacity as well, we are thinking towards like going for certain studios which we see as our potential work client as well. So we are like gathering some list of studios that we would like to work with as freelancers or as external designers as well, and like get good high tech products out there.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
And make them transparent.
Yeah.
Show the process.
Yeah. Process is very important.
Yeah.
And I think now we have, since we have so many tools around us, we tend to forget the process and kind of revolve around it, end up not generating as we've thought. So I think process is something.
Generating sketches initially, like we used to. Initially, we used to doodle, and then we would come to a form, and then you'd start. So now the processes are different.
And how much do you think reading is important?
Extremely.
It's important.
Yeah.
Reading is
so important.
You gotta read, man. You gotta read those books out there.
Yes.
There's a gem of stuff.
Read or listen.
There's a treasure of, yeah.
Like, listen to books. These days, you're listening, you know, rather than reading to books. But
so, you have, you have audiobooks around.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cheap to do. Some of them are just free on the internet.
Yeah, you can listen to them.
Yeah, develop.
While you're doing something else, like.
Yeah, I think I wrote down a question and forgot asking about it. Well, any tips for the people who are maybe working in corporates or like working in IT and wants to shift to design, or they've been doing something? How do you want to motivate them? Like, how what do you think they need to do?
I feel like the best would be you do your job, you come back, and you do what you want to do.
Yeah.
And you like start with your own self then. Like, sit at a desk, whatever the job is, and make it happen. Start.
Sweet. Yeah. That's something about.
Yeah, like if you come back home, just if you think you want to get into design, just make something up for yourself. Create a portfolio, see the response, and if people you know see the critiques, and then I mean, don't leave your job right away.
Don't leave your job right away.
Yeah.
Fade it out. Like, have some faith that you're gonna choose this path. And
yeah,
you
gotta
have some
yeah.
faith. Okay, fine. My portfolio is good. I think I can nail this. Then if you have that kind of a, or maybe more confidence than that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Man, it was such a crazy conversation we've
had.
Right. It's awesome.
It's good to have you in Pune.
Yes, we could also have it longer.
Yes.
Yeah, we can keep on talking about our shit and stuff. So, thanks a lot, Puneet and Pragya, for this.
Awesome.
I remember we've been planning about this for some time now.
Yeah.
I think on one of the NYE even we've decided that, okay, let's...
NYE 2020.
Yeah, but 2020 maybe didn't work, but it gave us some hope to move forward, right? It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it was good after all. Maybe
after
for
all.
Us only.
awesome guys, so
thanks Q for
thank
having
you.
Us
yes so yeah, enough for today. Stay tuned. Peace.
Bye.